Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Has this day flown by or what? I don't know.
I just got here.
Oh, sorry to drag you down.
Saturday's just beginning.
Yeah. Sorry for that reminder. It's time for Social Studies. And joining us is Sarah Cazell. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. How are we doing, guys?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. All right. We are starting with the Arizona Cardinals and the Cowboys.
Heard of them.
No. We certainly haven't been talking about this all week. But I'm going to ask you guys, what is the bigger key to victory for the Cardinals against the Cowboys on Monday Night Football? Is it a strong offense for the Cardinals against a bad Dallas defense, or is it a strong Cardinals defense against a really good Dallas offense?
I like that question, actually.
I'm going to vote for A. I don't think the defense... I think if the Cardinals offense performs at a very high level, I think that's going to accomplish what they need to accomplish. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals defense has to be competent, in my opinion.
Just don't mess it up.
I'll say what he said.
Okay.
I like the offense against the bad Dallas D.
It's really, really close. But right now, the Cardinals defense needs to win the day, according to our voters. 52% of them think the bigger key to victory is a strong defense against a prolific Dallas offense. And 48% say a good Cardinals offense against a bad Dallas defense. And then lots of opinions to scroll through in the responses as well. Well, something you guys mentioned, I believe, earlier in the show. Today marks the 14-year anniversary of the Denny Green, they are who we thought they were. We let them off the hook.
Oh, yeah.
Monday night football game, the comeback win for the Bears over the Cardinals on Monday night football. So an open-ended question. And sadly, there are a lot to pick from. What is the most painful regular season game in Cardinals history?
Regular season to the people who said Santonio Holmes catch.
Always. There will always be those people who don't read the poll and then respond to it.
58 zip to the Seahawks.
Jeez.
That ended Ken Wisenhunt's reign.
But that led to good things.
Yeah, it did.
But in the moment.
I do think that in terms of sheer visceral effect of it all, that nothing tops that Monday night game against the Bears. You may not know this, Sarah, but I was suspended a week after that because of that game.
What?
We had Adrian Wilson on the radio show the morning after, and Adrian was so despondent, he dropped the F-bomb about 7 times. And our producer decided he would go to the bathroom during a live interview, so he was in the bathroom when Adrian Wilson was dropping F-bombs.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about a time where Adrian Wilson was dropping F-bombs and Jarrett was dropping different kind of bombs, but now, this was...
Jarrett wasn't me. This is a different
Previous producer? All right, we'll talk about them later.
It was 14 years ago. Jarrett was just starting out at Arizona Sports.
Oh, little baby.
maybe
I have no clue how long you've been here, Jarrett.
So, I've been here that long almost.
How visceral it was. That a star player of the Cardinals could not even contain his foul mouth.
Ooh.
I would never agree with it.
I would never leave during a live interview if I had to.
I pooped my pants.
Okay.
Gosh.
It's that Chicago game for me.
Uh-huh.
Seattle 58-0 was rough. There's a lot of great answers in here, too, and we've had way too many to pick from.
The Denver one we talked about earlier, just because it was so embarrassing after the "we're going to kick your ass" comments.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the more painful ones, I brought this up before, was 89 against Denver at Sun Devil Stadium. They got absolutely housed 37-0. Here's one. Where did it go? Oh, Ryan says, personally and financially, Carson's last game in London. That trip cost a lot, and to have to sit there and watch that in person was painful. They got shut out that day in London.
Oh, that's
They went all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to not score a point.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Brutal. Okay, can we go back real quick?
Sure.
Bick, why did you get suspended?
It's one of life's great mysteries, Sarah.
Did your producer get suspended?
I don't know. I'm trying to recall if he did. But me and Mike Jarecki, my co-host at the time, we both got sent to the bench for a week.
Oh, I'm putting the pieces together. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Jarrett.
So, and so the joke I tell to everybody is that our producer at the time was manning the wrong dump button. Hello!
Oh, my gosh. I like it. That's good.
Is this thing on?
Help! There, come on.
It's one of my few good jokes. I have to tell it 50,000 times.
It is a good line.
Please, we hear enough bad jokes. Let it go.
Poop fest.
Oh, we do hear enough bad jokes.
Man, that's a tease for 1:30, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm
really
pointing to
fest.
Our producer, Jarrett Carlin.
Man, this is delicious.
Okay,
poop.
Next question. Speaking of poop, Clayton Kershaw last night. Just kidding.
He's a child.
So ridiculous. Okay, but really, we are moving on to crappy performances here.
Jarrett?
So, the question, open-ended. What all-time great player across any sport has choked the most in big moments, big games, postseason outings? Of course, Clayton Kershaw getting a lot of heat.
We had some guys just crap their pants.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't heard that one.
Arsenal, yeah. Well, that's a new one.
If anybody's ever used that phrase on radio or television, Jarrett's got it archived.
He sure does.
I'm going to go with Alex Rodriguez. Barry Bonds had that moniker for a long time. Right, I don't think he ever completely shook it. But Alex Rodriguez was a notoriously horrible postseason player.
There was a time when Phil Mickelson was on that list.
Yeah. Looking up A-Rod's postseason batting. He was a career .259 hitter in the postseason with 13 home runs.
Now, A-Rod shows up a bit.
George Springer has more home runs in the postseason than A-Rod does.
Wow.
Greg Norman probably makes it. You remember the Olympian Dan O'Brien?
Oh.
You remember?
Oh, yes. That was one of the bigger choke jobs on a big stage ever.
Yana Novotna, a tennis player, was once ahead 5-love, 40-love. She had triple set point and a 5-love lead and lost the set. You remember that?
No.
Neither do I.
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, he came up pretty small in the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
I'm curious to hear some other answers here, Sarah.
Peyton Manning shows up a few times, although...
Two-time Super Bowl winner.
That's the thing. I was just going to say, is that fair?
Although
because he has rings.
John Elway was on that list for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true. He was.
Chris Webber gets a few mentions.
That's a good one.
James Harden.
James Harden deserves some of that criticism.
Yeah. Let's see. Brett Favre gets a couple responses. Greg Norman, like you guys already mentioned. A-Rod, like you already mentioned.
The late, great Lute Olson. For a while, had that kind of followed him around.
Yes, a lot of first-round exits, that's right. Yeah. And then Anthony says, Robert Kimdichie and Vinnie Joe trivia. It's a bit of a pull there. And then Clayton Kershaw.
He deserves it, too.
Yeah, he does. I feel bad for him.
Brilliant regular season pitcher. Not terrible. An average postseason pitcher. Oh, there's Dennis Green on the television screen.
There we go. Rant for the ages, it says. Okay, we are moving on to our next question. I missed you guys talking about this, but apparently there was a discovery today that there are two Wink Martindales in the world that we know of.
I think anybody who is a man of a certain age, the last name Martindale is nicknamed Wink. That's my theory.
Yeah, fair enough. Right. It's a great name. One who is on the staff for the Baltimore Ravens and then the former game show host. So the open-ended question, who is the greatest game show host of all time?
Oh,
and also, what's the greatest game show of all time? If you've got that off the top of your mind as well.
The greatest game show of all time has got to be Jeopardy, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
I know a lot of people would say Wheel of Fortune or Price is Right.
Price is Right, yeah.
The greatest game show host of all time has got to be... Alex Trebek, right?
He's fine, but all he does...
Bob Barker?
I think you've had enough.
No. Bob Barker.
Bob Barker was great.
Richard Dawson kissed every contestant.
On the lips.
Lips?
What?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He was the first host of Family Feud, and what he would do is he would go down the line of the family and kiss each female member of the family on the lips.
Why not
to say
the men?
Hello to
was disgusting. Why not the
men?
He didn't do the men.
Interesting. Well, that's nasty.
He might have invented coronavirus for all you know.
He's had it brewing.
What was that movie about? Greg Kinnear played the guy from Hogan's Heroes.
Autofocus?
Yeah. Richard Dawson is in that movie too. So
it looks like Alex Trebek and Bob Barker get the overwhelming majority of the responses as far as great all-time hosts. Steve Harvey for Family Feud, I disagree with that call.
I disagree with it, too. I think Family Feud is a shell of its former self.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't shy away from all types of humor, but they go into the gutter so often.
Yeah, a lot of potty humor.
A lot of it.
But my runner-up for greatest game show would be Match Game. Either the old ones or the new ones. They're both fantastic.
They're both brilliant. Yeah. I love Regis on the original Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Because I used to love when they got the high money and they'd say the answer, and is that your final answer? And then he'd say, yeah. And he goes, and he'd go, oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry. You're right!
In honor of Wink Martindale, he was, remember Tic-Tac-Toe, the theme?
I'm 80% sure my uncle.
I know you're not 900 years old, Sarah. We know you don't get the reference.
Wait, you missed what Sarah said here.
I believe my uncle went on this show.
Really?
What? Yes. He's been on a couple game shows, so it's hard to keep track.
So
Uncle Dave, can you text me?
I've been on one. Jared on the list of the greatest chokers.
Well, that was an all-time great who chokes in big moments. Am I an all-time great otherwise?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's a really strong point. And we are running a little bit late, so mock my world quickly. The update, there's still an hour left of voting, but I think it's going to go to Jarrett Carlin here, folks. 53% of the vote for best Cowboys, be it Dallas, Oklahoma State, real life.
Look, this thing's
fictional.
Over. The only intrigue left is if myself or Dan Bickley is going to finish with the worst total.
11.
I'm at 11.3 to 11.1% with an hour to go in the voting.
All right.
Keep those votes.
Wow.
Yes. So let's see. Jarrett's team, Doc Holliday, Emmett Smith, the Lone Ranger, and Wyatt Earp. Again, 53% of the vote.
Smart to play
I've got
tombstone.
25. And then 11% for you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations,
yes.
Jarrett.
Thank you.
Well enjoy
done.
Your win. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Social Studies with Sarah Cazell every day at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, turns out we're not the only ones talking about Kyler Murray's return to his old high school stomping ground in Texas. We'll fill you in on more next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's sports station.
Going back home, playing in Dallas, obviously a big game for us on Monday night in front of everybody.
I mean, this is what he's worked hard for his entire life, to have moments like this.
Baby! Certainly, it'll be worthy of the national stage.
Bickley and Murata talk Cardinals, Cowboys, Monday Night Football, now.
Being from Detroit, like there's nothing like that I've seen when I came down here, and they had this, you know, stadium that they play in that's like bigger than some college stadium.
Yeah.
And they just, I remember this. So I'm covering this one game I'm up in the press box. It's not at their home stadium, and there's like 8 buses in a row that are just, you can see them coming down the street. And I said to somebody, I was like, oh, is that the football team? They're like, oh, no, the football team will be here in a little bit. Those are all the buses just for Allen's band. I mean, their band is crazy. And so it's just such a big deal down here. And then he's the face of it. They win 3 state titles. Yeah, no, it's a big deal here for sure.
John Mishota, who covers the Cowboys for The Athletic, we just kind of lucked out in the fact that he had Kyler Murray high school stories when he first moved to Dallas. He covered high school football.
Right.
And there he was painting the picture about how big high school football is. In Dallas, in the state of Texas, which means a lot because you heard there at the very end, Kyler Murray is a Texas high school football legend.
Yeah.
And when you hear the phrase high school football legend, sometimes people will scoff at that. Like, hey, what became of that guy, Texas high school football legend? Kyler Murray's on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
To do it in that state, to do it in the manner that he did. In fact, John Mishota said this about Kyler Murray.
So when I first got down here, I was covering high schools for a few years, and I got to cover some of Kyler's games, and I was it's like, this is the best high school football player I've ever seen, and that obviously hasn't changed since. And people down here are very aware of him because not only was he just super dynamic and just, you know, a highlight reel one after another, but it was just the fact that, like, he played at Allen High School, which is just like a football power. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, they were one of the more talented teams every single game they played. But, I watched some games against them, playing against some really good, like, DeSoto teams, which is another power here. And there were times where they were not going to win those games if Kyler Murray didn't, you know, put it on his back and take it to another level. And so all those high school fans, everybody, whether you rooted for Allen or not, are excited about seeing him come back.
Kyler Murray, when it comes to his high school resume,
yeah,
he's one of the few people that can pull off the LeVar Ball claim. Never lost.
Mm-hmm.
43-0.
Yep.
That's amazing stuff.
Okay. And so I like the way you set this up. Being a high school legend, that can be overused. There can be some hyperbole in that. But in the case of Kyler Murray, it's certainly not. There's no hyperbole at all. It's really the truth. Then being a high school legend in Texas makes it something that's even bigger. It means that people who don't even go to Allen High School or the opponent will go to see him play. What are the comps in Arizona? Jared Bayless, when he was playing here, who would be a comp locally?
Terrell Suggs.
High school, was he that good? When he was a running back in high school?
Yeah.
And he was really good?
Yeah.
Really?
He ran for like 2,600 yards his last year at Hamilton.
Where I came
from. Which is different because he didn't play that position at the college level or the pro level, but he was that good.
Where I came from, it was all Chicago Public League basketball legends. That's that Mark Aguirre, you know what I mean? Juwan Howard. There was a Proviso East team that had Donnie Boyce, who went on to play at Colorado, Sherelle Ford, who was incredible in high school, never made it much in college, and then Michael Finley. And Michael Finley was the third musketeer of the team, like the third best guy in the team. He went on to have the best NBA career, really the only NBA career.
Mm-hmm.
But they would dunk on everybody, and they were such a traveling rock show that people from all over would go to their games, not even affiliated with the school. That's a high school legend. So this guy does breakthrough in Texas. So this is going to be an even bigger deal than we thought it was going to be, because it's a big deal to people in Texas as well.
Yeah, Steve Keim, the general manager of the Cardinals, this morning with Doug and Wolf, he was asked about Kyler's return to AT&T Stadium.
I put myself in that situation, thinking about how much I loved college football, coming from Pennsylvania, which is obviously a place that there's so much importance to high school football, and no different from Texas, and in particular Dallas, where Kyler's from, and a guy that's, 42, 43-0, never lost a game, and I think he's 6-0 in that stadium. I can't imagine what that must feel like. Like, whether I was going home and playing, you know, at the old vet back in those days, Wolf minus that crappy turf, or, you know, Heinz Field, wherever it may have been, it's just got to feel unbelievably special. And he can downplay it, we can downplay it, but, you know, let's not minimize how exciting it must be for a young man to go in. And, you know, bottom line, I think about things like when you see the first snap, And Kyler has to look across the line of scrimmage and he sees that star on the helmet. Mm. I mean, that's got to be so surreal for a young man.
Did anybody ask Kyler this week if he grew up a Cowboys fan? Did that question come out? Because I haven't seen any comments on that. You'd imagine growing up in that area with football being what it is.
Unless he was a Texans fan. But yeah, I would imagine that he was a Cowboys fan. Yeah. I don't know. We know he likes the Lakers.
So maybe he wasn't a Cowboy fan.
I don't know.
Maybe he's a Packers fan.
I mean,
I think, you know, Kyler Murray, we've talked about this. He's not a guy to toot his own horn. He's very even keeled when he talks about his accomplishments. But you know, deep down, he doesn't want that zero to disappear in the loss column when he plays at AT&T Stadium. 6-0 is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, five of those games in high school, one of those games in college. Now to be able to do it at the pro level
would be big.
Would be really big for him.
It would.
Yeah, I can't wait till Monday night. It's gonna be fun. Coming up next, the Sports Kebab with Jared Carlin. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Don't you have some dirty jokes to go tell?
It's sports news skewered.
Skewered.
The Sports Kebab.
Make everybody laugh, Jarrett.
I hope so. I hope I could do that. So if I cannot bring a smile to your face, what can I do?
Nothing.
In this world. And we'll start off on the sports kebab. I'm going to tell you a little story. I was driving to work today, and I saw one of those Halloween superstores. You ever see those things that pop up?
Yeah. Spend a lot of money there every year.
Do you?
Time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really want to.
I try to get just homemade costumes, but many, many people go in there every year. And the thing that's crazy about me to me about those things is they disappear for the entire rest of the year, but then they show up every October and they earn their money. They're kind of like the opposite of Clayton Kershaw when you think about it.
That's good. That's the anti-spirit.
Clayton Kershaw's postseason struggles continued on Thursday, and he did nothing to shed the reputation that he is not a big-game pitcher. No, Kershaw is a tremendously popular Dodger player, and I think I see his appeal, okay? Much of the L.A. fan base is made up of, you know, rich, divorced dads on their third marriage or absentee moms, you know, living that socialite life. So when it comes to their kids, like Kershaw, they also don't show up for the big games. And they lead to therapy. Clayton Kershaw in postseason games is kind of like Charlie Casserly's hair dye. Ridiculous, hard to look at, and left in too long. It really is shocking, though, to look at Kershaw's career, you know, stat trends, and when you compare the regular season to the postseason. I mean, one is facing up, one is facing down, kind of like Adam Gase's eyes. But yes, it's been a rough week for Jets coach and bearded vaudeville ventriloquist dummy, Adam Gase.
Making fun of another Adam, finally.
Yeah, I know, finally. Wow. Because the reason I'm doing this is because the Jets cut their highest paid player, their best player, the guy who was the marquee free agent signing last year, Le'Veon Bell. Gase and Lev just never fit together and appeared to have they butted heads from the very beginning. I mean, I haven't seen someone that incompatible with a bell since Gaston.
He's not the monster Gaston, you are.
Right, you got it.
Thank you.
Now, Bell.
Thank you.
No. Bell signed with the Jets after sitting out a full year with the Steelers. So think of that. He didn't play NFL football for 12 months so he could sign with the Jets and then not play NFL football for 18 months. So Bell gets cut by the Jets and then very quickly signed by the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champions. Going from the Jets to the Chiefs. That's like when Angelina Jolie broke up with Billy Bob Thornton for Brad Pitt. I mean, the Jets are a disaster. Their defense stinks. Their coaching stinks. Their offense is sloppier than Joe Namath after last call.
He doesn't drink anymore.
Oh, I know, not anymore. Okay, in the past. And things, since we're talking, I'm glad you brought that up. Dan,
Maybe he does.
No. Well, I'm sure he's got his act together. I'm glad you brought up the past, though.
Okay.
Because the Jets are so bad.
How bad are they?
And I like making old references so much. And I didn't ask you guys for an old reference.
Yeah, it's amazing that slipped your mind this week.
That was on purpose this week. This week. Because I'm going to attempt to make a Jets joke with a reference from every decade from the 1940s until today.
Okay.
In consecutive order here, okay?
Good luck.
Good luck. 1940s.
Oh.
Man, oh man, New York really blew it with Le'Veon Bell. I haven't seen anyone waste that much money on a failed Jet since Howard Hughes with the Spruce Goose.
That joke was the bee's knees,
yeah, okay.
Jarrett.
Hit me now. Ready? 1950s! Okay, barely 1 year into a huge deal with New York, and they could not have been happier to get rid of Bell and move on. I haven't seen anyone this excited about a Jet leaving to save the future since Buck Rogers fought aliens in the 25th century.
1960s!
Boy, oh boy, Adam Gase is just destroying the New York football team. I haven't seen anyone tear apart the Jets like that since Natalie Wood in West Side Story.
1970s!
You know who I feel bad for? Is New York football fans. Everything the team does is wrong. Every personnel move, every coaching decision. It must be so frustrating. Those fans must scream about Jets more than Elton John belting a tune about Benny.
1980s!
And things, they're not going well for Adam Gase, you know? Not going well. Every game he looks worse. Every game he gets crushed more. And yet, it doesn't seem to bother him. I haven't seen a Jet who didn't care about their bad reputation like that since Joan.
How many more decades?
Almost
do we have?
1990s, and Le'Veon Bell shouldn't be off the hook yet either, okay? He didn't exactly light the world on fire after that contract. He did not earn that money. I haven't seen a Jet steal something like that since Benny Rodriguez swiped home in the Sandlot.
The aughts!
2000s. Right, this is the last one. 2000s. But I think it all comes down to the bad fit between Gase and Bell. I mean, Gase never wanted him there, never put him in a position to succeed. And I don't think New York will do well until they replace Adam Gase. I mean, even Sully Sullenberger couldn't save that New York Jet.
Oh.
All right.
Well done.
Thank you.
Big points for creativity.
2010.
No, the ones in the beginning were the 2010s.
Yeah,
but I will.
Jet Joe was good.
Thank you. I'll close with talking about college football because Alabama has the game of the season, the game of the century this weekend versus Georgia, and they might be without Nick Saban, who tested positive for COVID this week. Now, if that sounds daunting, to play a football game without a real head coach on the sidelines, try being the Arizona Wildcats who haven't done that for 20 years.
Good job, Jared.
Thank you.
Well done. Well done.
How come no 30s jokes?
Yeah, what's in the 30s? The Kaiser. No, that was the 1910s.
Not a lot of good things happened in the 30s.
The 20s had Great Depression material to work with.
Or the Roaring 20s. Flappers.
Stock market. I haven't seen a New York crash like that since the stock market.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That'd be the 20s, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, I don't know.
Before that, my memory is a little fuzzy.
I thought if at least I was going to make old references today, I'll try to gimmick them to go through
that
time.
Was creative.
Thank you.
I like it. I haven't seen a Jet. That's the basis. That's like your new your new Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah.
You might be a redneck.
I haven't seen a Jet since.
There you go. That's the Sports Kebab every Friday with Jarrett Carlin. You could follow Jarrett on Twitter at Jarrett GC, JARRETT GC. Text GATE to 620-620. Listen for your name at 5 p.m. for your chance to win a brand new barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. You'll also be invited to an exclusive virtual tailgate featuring Arizona sports hosts and a chance to win a $250 prize pack from Four Peaks Brewing Company. Text GATE to 620-620. The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate is presented by Four Peaks Brewing Company. Coming up next, final thoughts as we head off into the weekend on this Football Friday. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
Right, today's song of the day, Vinny used the word acquiesce earlier today. Great word.
Did I use it correctly, though?
You did.
Wow.
Acquiesce is also the name of a song by Oasis. So that is your song of the day, right?
Where do you stand on Oasis?
I like them. I think that they've got a certain mythology to them. They came around and they, as so often happens in music, Jared, a band comes around to match the mood of the times. And that band kind of matched the mood of everything in England in the mid 90s.
Favorite Oasis song?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Mine's Don't Look Back in Anger.
That's mine.
Mine is I think Morning Glory. Yeah, I think Morning Glory is my favorite. Before you move on, I also want to put out there that tomorrow the Four Peaks Tempe Oktoberfest is going virtual. Obviously, there is none this year. Great event that Vinny and I we've been there in different capacities for many, many years.
Yeah, so you've told me. I don't remember quite my experiences there.
Right? My band's played there, been honored to play there a few times. We're going virtual this year to kind of keep everything rolling. It's a great deal for the Tempe sister cities. So if you want to check it out, facebook.com/Four Peaks Brew. We'll get you there. Four Peaks Brewing Company's Facebook page will shoot you right to the link. You can take part, check out Four Peaks Tempe Oktoberfest tomorrow starting at 2 p.m.
Very, very cool. You mentioned it earlier in the show. Today's the 14-year anniversary of the Cardinals meltdown on Monday Night Football. I just discovered that game, and I don't know how common this is, that game has its own Wikipedia page.
You know what? Probably should.
The game was ranked number 6 on the NFL Top 10 on NFL Network for Top 10 Greatest Comebacks of All Time under the title Cardinals Blow It Monday Night Meltdown, as well as Top 10 Meltdowns at number 7. Cardinals led by 20 points, and the Bears came back to win 24-23 without scoring any points on offense. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Do you remember Edgerrin James' stat line from that game?
I really do not, no.
It may never be, I don't think it ever happened before, it may never happen again. He carried the ball 36 times in that game for 55 yards.
Holy cow. Well, we do know that Dennis Green went into the four corners offense in the second half.
Yes.
And he was as to blame for the demise of that team as anybody.
Can I play 1 minute? Because I got sent a 1 minute highlight from that game.
Yes.
That highlights everything.
Player to boot it away. Almost got it blocked. Good kick. Hester waits for it at the 18-yard line. Backs up, now runs right to the 20, 25. Look out, 30. Near side, 40. At midfield, 45. 40 with a kicker to beat. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Chicago. And the Bears unbelievably have tied this football game. You got to be kidding me. Can this happen 3 times in 1 year? No way. No way. 2:58 to go in the fourth. And the Bears an extra point away from taking the lead. Unbelievable.
There are no words. You punt the ball away. It almost gets blocked. You punt it away. And then you give up yet another big play and a big return on special teams. The meltdown is complete for the Cardinals.
It wasn't quite complete because the Cardinals got the ball back after Robbie Gould's extra point gave them the lead. They drove down the field to set up for a game-winning field goal to make this whole mess go away from Neil Rackers with less than a minute to go. And he missed it.
Yeah.
Which led to an on-air rant from Adrian Wilson, which led to a week-long suspension for Dan Bickley. I saw this on the Wikipedia page, too. Dennis Green, after that famous post-game rant, he said, quote, "My doctor was very happy. He called me the next day and said, you know what? After that kind of game, blowing up like that was a very good stress reliever, and my wife agreed."
Well, look, Dennis Green sold the rights to his tantrum to, was it Coors Light?
Remember they used to have those coach press conference commercials.
That's
you're right.
That's right.
So he made a little
cash on it,
too.
He made some money off that. Yeah, he did.
We told you earlier than last weekend I watched the new Adam Sandler Halloween movie, Halloween.
Yeah.
It might be the first movie he's ever made that could be considered so bad somebody got fired because of it. Maybe not. So Adam Sandler uses people in cameo roles. It was set in Salem, Massachusetts.
All right.
And filmed on location in Massachusetts. So for the one of the roles of a local newscaster / reporter, he picked an actual Boston area news reporter, an anchor, Elena Pinto. She was on Channel 7 in Boston.
She put this on Twitter yesterday. Hi, friends. I have some news to share. Earlier this week, I was let go from 7 News. I'm posting this because I want to be open and honest with all of you. Last year, I participated in a cameo in the recently released Netflix movie by Adam Sandler, Hubie Halloween. In doing so, I mistakenly violated my contract with the station, and I understand why management unfortunately chose to terminate me. I'm deeply disappointed and saddened, and I hoped this would not be how things evolved. I don't know exactly what the contract said.
Right.
But
I don't know.
It's not like she was appearing on another news station. It's a movie.
And I don't think, and I'm going to say this respectfully, I'm not sure she was a top performer at her job. Otherwise, this seems to be quite a little minor thing to fire somebody over.
And the movie, she is on the fictional Channel 4 Morning News. And part of the joke is that all of the anchors on Halloween dressed up, and all the female reporters, they dressed up as the same thing, Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad.
Okay.
I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
But
lame.
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought the punishment didn't fit the crime there. I really didn't.
You haven't seen the movie, though.
that was the crime right there.
I don't know if you caught this during the baseball telecast last night. John Smoltz on TBS.
It's great.
Was talking about second guessers in baseball, and he actually said this on the air.
I want someone to develop an app for all the second guessers and the know-it-alls that are in our world so that they can click time. You know, timestamp it. This is what I would do. Okay, wrong. Or, okay, you were right. But all the people that can talk about after the words what they would do. So somebody out there, I know somebody's smart enough, to get an app so that we can get all the second guessers and armchair quarterbacks to tell you step by step.
I don't think John Smoltz is on Twitter.
Yeah, that was the popular joke going around that he clearly doesn't know that app exists already. It's called Twitter.
It's like Michael Keaton in Night Shift claims he invented everything, but they already had it. You know, I invented those. I mean, they already had them, but I invented them.
Yeah, right.
Since the Cardinals don't play till Monday, Alabama, Georgia, who wins?
Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Saban coaches?
Yeah, I don't see any way that he does not coach. He needs three negative tests 24 hours apart for each of them. The timing of this is interesting. What time is kickoff of that game?
2 o'clock local time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 24 hours from now.
He'll be there.
Thanks to our guest today, John Machota. Thanks to you for listening. Have a great and safe weekend. We'll be back to get you ready for Cardinals Cowboys on Monday. Burns and Gambo are up next, but before they take over, we leave you with this.
What's the name of the song? Breathless Surrender? What is it?
Careless Whisper?
Oh, that's it. Sorry.
Breathless Surrender, I think, is a Harlequin romance novel. Yeah.
Danielle Steele book.
Yeah. We're going to have ourselves a fun week.
I just had another thought, and it completely escaped my brain.
So this game is just dripping with Texas stuff.
Dripping with Texas stuff?
Yeah.
Why are you sending back your barbecue? Because it's dripping with Texas stuff.
Can I get a new table, please? This chair is dripping with Texas stuff.
Can I get another order of Texas toast? It suddenly got inundated with dripping stuff.
I feel like a 12-year-old.
It's like a Tibetan monk, right?
Tibetan monk, I think.
You say Tibetan, I say Tibetan.
I said Tibetan.
I agree with you, Captain. Captain Howdy.
Yes, Captain Howdy. Thank you for your football insight today.
Ron Wolfley, right? Solid jungle guy. Love that guy. What is up? Have a take and do not suck, right?
Catfish Hunter. Connie Mack. George Forster.
Play calls are perfect, baby.
They're all perfect. The plays have worked before they'll work again, baby.
This play card is laminated because I don't need to change anything, baby.
That's right. This play card is laminated because it belongs in the Hall of Fame, baby.
George Taco Bell. Back, God. Taco Bell.
Young Shimei.
A double bubble.
Adam Silver. The hero America needs.
You suck, bear.
Hello, Sarah Cazell.
Hello. Why are we talking like this?
Hello. Mr. Altuve, somebody here to see you. What'd you say your name was again? Oh, hi, it's me, Karma.
The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, man. Way to go. Old school baseball, man.
He laid down the law.
He handed out some good old-fashioned Atlanta justice.
Yeah. Alexander right. Madison. There's so much I haven't done.
Elevator.
Jared, you're killing me, man.
You're killing me.
Jared Carlin is nothing if not ambitious when it comes to self-promotion.
It's Jared.
I can make fun of you. You can make fun of me. Mm-hmm. We both can make fun of Jared.
He's about to slam Jared so hard. Oh, my gosh.
Shut up, Jared.
Shut up, Jared.
Shut up, Jared.
Shut up, Jared.
And shut up, Jared. Yeah.
Normal week. Tuesday's a ball.
Lasagna.
Okay, we'll get this. We'll get this right. We're professional broadcasters here, even though it doesn't sound like it happened. Time.
I think we've come close to meeting our shenanigans standard for today. We are
we are out of here is what we are.